great. And then we'll also have a guest speaker at the start today. So let's turn in the prayer books to the back of the first white beige sheet, and we'll do the seven limb prayer. Go sum gu pe go ne chak te lo ne sha mi chu chu chi ma lu bu to me ne sa di tu tam che sha ke pa ge wa nam la je yi ram kor wa ma tong bar du le ju ne dro la chi ki kor lo kor wa dam da jeng ge na jang chu chen po ngo. And if you turn back a few pages to the green sheets, we'll do the praises to the 21 Torahs. From your sublime abode at the Patala Otara, born from the green letter Tom, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara. You who rescue all who are destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. O my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator, homage, Tara, swift heroic, eyes like lightning instantaneous, sprung from opening stamens of the Lord of Three Worlds, tear-born lotus. Homage, she whose face combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with light rays resplendent, has 1,000-star collection. Homage, golden blue and lotus, water-born and hand-adorned, giving effort, calm austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tathagatas, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with her feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All-Lord, Chakra, Agni, Brahma, Maru, honored by the hosts of spirits, corpse raisers, Gandharvas, Yakshas. Homage with her tray and pay sounds, destroying foes' magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out right and blazing in a raging fireblaze. Homage to Ray, very dreadful, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies. Homage at her heart, her fingers adorn her with three jewel mudra, light ray masses all excited, all directions wheels adorn her. Homage, she so joyous, radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all earth guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with her home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage, crown adorned with crescent, most shining, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out much light eternal. Homage, she mid-wreath ablaze like eon-ending fire abiding, right dress of bent joy surrounds you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage, she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, happy, virtuous, peaceful, she whose field is peace, nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder, frees with whom in knowledge mantra, arrangement of the 10 letters. Homage to Ray with seed letter, of the shape of syllable, whom 5-foot stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vinya. Homage, holding in her hand the hair-marked moon of Deva lake form, with twice spoken Tara Ampe, totally dispelling poison. Homage, she whom gods and their kings and the Kinaras do honor. Heard in all joyful splendor, she dispels bad dreams and conflicts, Amid she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with twice har and tutare, she dispels severe contagion, homage full of liberating, power by the set of three natures, destroys hosts of spirit yakshas, and raise corpses supreme to re. These praises with the Ru mantras and prostrations thus are 21.
So good evening, and I spoke to some of you on the way in so that I know that you are aware that we have a special guest speaker this evening. Ryan Draper is here to talk to us tonight about compassion for sentient beings, and in particular, he's brought some insect sentient beings along to introduce to us, and this is a real good way to be thinking about. On Saturday morning, we're having an animal blessing and liberation, and why would we have that, and what would the benefits of that be? So I'm going to turn the table over to Ryan. So let's thank him for coming out tonight.
Yeah,
hello.
There we go.
Hey, Doug, can you take her out?
Yeah.
So this is Ivy.
If anyone would like to see, if you want to come up closer, feel free.
I mean, if I can get her without making her angry. But she just gets a little temperamental. She's comfortable.
She's got these little claws that are very strong.
Yeah.
There she is. Yeah. Yeah, it's a spiny stick insect from New Guinea. Museum kind of adopted her.
Now, what museum do you work for?
The Museum of Life and Science in Durham.
What kind of insect is she?
What is it?
It's a spiny stick insect.
So they can't fly.
Yeah.
How old is that?
She's not that old. Maybe 3 months.
And they get up to about...
Yeah, that one, 8 inches.
She's still a teenager.
And that little spine she has.
I think
3 years. No.
Oh, so where is it from?
It's from New Guinea and Solomon Islands.
She likes to eat leaves?
Yeah, that's all she eats.
Leaves or something?
Mm-hmm.
Does it fly or does it just walk?
No, it just walks. She has no wings.
Someone.
And yeah, when you play with them too much, you're in the wrong place, will threaten you like that.
What does the thing in the back do?
It's an ovipositor. It looks like a stinger, but it's just for laying eggs.
Ah. Oh, so
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the boys are a little bit more.
Yeah, they're more aggressive. And they have wings. Yeah, the males can fly.
The boys I've found out the hard way is they have longer thorns on the back of their legs, and so when they get agitated, they treat your hand like a snare drum, and just beat your leg, and so it has, like, thorns just...
That, oh,
but,
like a spur.
Mm-hmm, like a spur, but it won't break the skin. It catches you off guard, and it scares you a bit, but, other than that, that's the only defense, and they're really...
That's sweet.
Do you have a boy one?
There are... I'm going to pick one out soon for her. Just when they grow up, you know.
Is it okay if someone else holds it?
Yeah. You can hold them.
Oh, at least you're amazing.
I'll let everybody know. So she'll sway back and forth, and she'll, like, lift up her back leg, and she might tap you, but other than that, she won't do a whole lot. Like, she'll just stay in your hand and move around.
She actually climbs up on your shirt.
Yeah.
Doing a Tibetan
dance. Ryan, you had said you felt a connection to this insect. Could you talk about that a little bit?
It's just connection I have with all most animals. I don't know. I like them. They're good pets.
Where did you get her?
From the museum.
From the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So how long do you have her?
I kind of checked her out for the day.
So Leon has offered to.
Yeah, I could have it.
Yeah.
Does she need any kind of leaves? Just a particular kind?
Yeah, there are some brambles. That's one of the ones that she likes. I don't know the list. What she did.
How can you tell, or can you tell, if she's, like, content?
When she's on a leash. Yeah. And eating. Yeah.
And usually, as long as she's not swaying.
Yeah. She's not swaying.
She just lays there.
Calmly.
Her happiness.
Yeah.
There she is.
Over
there.
Oh, yeah. She's doing that. That's the thing.
Oh. Oh, that? Yeah. They try to look like a scorpion with that tail.
To scare
off enemies. Oh, or predators, I should say.
Really? Scary.
Yeah.
Are there insects bigger than that?
Yes, there are.
How long does this one grow to be?
8 inches. I think the longest is a 23-inch stick insect.
Couple of months. Do you say
munches
and blow on her?
No, I haven't done that yet. I've been meaning to.
She's got a great face.
Yeah.
So, do you know how many eggs
at
a
time
she'll lay?
No. I don't know.
Are they intelligent?
A little bit. Yeah. They can feel when there's something to grab onto. You know how intelligent. Can bring up.
What are you?
Because that's the same male. How do you know?
Got an egg.
And are they? They're called chicken sticks because
well, because they resemble sticks.
And they are camouflaged.
Yeah. Stick bugs.
You should have brought Ryan your rhinoceros
beetle. Oh, we have a
rhino. There was one hanging around in my backyard.
Amazing, huge.
How big?
It was
that
big.
She was like that tiny when you found her.
I think David has photos on his phone of it.
Like an imprint.
That's right.
Because we got her.
Yeah.
Green. Like really green.
Yeah. We got her because she was green. I liked her color.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of imprinted on the glove that I had, and I guess me in a way.
Yeah.
Does she like to match things, match colors, like the odd green thing?
Not really, no.
Her color is mainly like the swaying.
Yeah.
Looking like the stick.
She looks like a new.
So when she feels threatened, she'll sway back and forth. They kind of just blend in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is she going to bed or anything?
Not right now. She's been molting pretty regularly. I think she's got two more stages.
When they live in the wild, or where was she from? Is she usually in a tree?
Mm-hmm.
Is she a member of a phasmid family?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She hides in tree hollows or under leaves in the daytime, and then they eat at night. It's all stick insects. It means phantom, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The prey mantis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what she's trying to do with her antennae?
She's just sensing, trying to feel for something.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon was talking about like there's pheromones, so the chemicals in there. So like that's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
One
yeah.
Area that I don't like to touch because it's like sensory overload.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's smell and feeling.
So she'll.
Did you tell us how long she lives?
3 years.
3 years, yeah. About 3 years.
She'll stay on your shirt.
She will, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Come here.
So do you have a bone?
Oh,
it's all the insects.
Oh, look at that.
She goes.
You have something, right?
Yeah. Bring out the other ones.
Big tree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She'll stay right there?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to show now?
The tarantula.
Tarantula?
Mm-hmm.
Doug, you want me to?
I'll go a little bit. I can handle.
I can let you help me.
Okay.
She's an eight-legged gerbil. This is a rose-haired tarantula from Chile. Chile. Mm-hmm.
Name's Rosita.
Rosita.
And we just have to be really careful not to drop her. She can be hurt badly that way.
She can, in sprints, she can a little bit.
Yeah, she gets startled.
Yeah.
She's not
poisonous. She's venomous. But it would be like a bee sting.
Where does she sting you from?
In the mouth underneath.
Okay.
The tube. She's got these big teeth.
Her mouth is underneath?
Mm-hmm. She just bites straight down.
Feeling equanimity yet?
Yeah, you can do that.
And anyone who thinks somebody could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, tell them.
she'll only bite if she feels threatened. And that's really if you push down on top of her. You know, you have to come directly down on top of her. She's been handled her whole life.
How old is this?
She's 8, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's 8.
And how long would she live?
They can live up to 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Will
how
she long
have you
had her? Will she get
any
bigger?
No, she's still grown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they they live in a tunnel underground, like trapdoor spiders.
What do they eat?
Lizards.
Lizards.
Yeah,
wow.
In the wild they'll eat lizards or mice. She probably would try. Yeah.
Don't they like crickets?
Yeah, we feed them crickets.
So they stun them or sting them and then...
Yeah. They just sting them and they're...
Yeah. Their fangs are underneath, right?
Yeah.
Do they have to get live food or...
Live food would have... Live food, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but... She has to eat too. Yeah, for I don't know how long. We've had her for.
And he checks her
out. Yeah, it's about a year that I've seen her.
Oh. Yeah. Does she have a mate?
No. I don't know how the mating process. I mean, how the museum would go about that.
So are you keeping them or are you just kind of
just borrowing them.
Borrowing.
Just for today.
Because I'm wondering what this thing is about females. They're less
aggressive.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. These species, anyway.
Do you show them at other places?
Yeah.
Is this
cool?
Yeah. Does anyone else want
to? Yeah, does anyone want to hold it?
Have you ever held a tarantula?
I have.
Okay.
But well, she was because I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
your trait. Look, she wants to go right
I love spiders.
Wow.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Feels like pipe cleaners. You know what that feels like.
Yeah. Show us. Do you have any spiders at home that you
look like? No. Oh, her, sorry. Come on, Rosita. Come on.
I work with these all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for letting me hold her.
Sure.
Wow. She wears a scarf sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Crawl up in there and just...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
So the best way is to put, yeah, like that. There you go. So she is, and then you can coax her from behind. You don't really want to go from the front because she'll take it as a threat. Yeah, and then going from the front or, you know, pushing down on top.
Yeah. How heavy is this?
Very light. Barely can feel her.
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't have little step shoes on.
Yeah, little claws for gripping. No, they do it from the ground.
Yeah.
So it's like a security system.
Yeah.
Kind of so they can feel what's around them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Look what you
made. Going, you're expanding your home.
Yeah. And it makes good bedding, too, so. I like it.
When is she most active?
During the day. She's pretty active.
So she's not
active. Yeah, well, I don't try to remember if she is.
Do you
she probably
have
be.
Heat lamps? Or?
Yeah. You just have them in a room that's, like, it's normal temperature for us. 70 something. They're fine with it.
Good.
If you're wondering.
Yeah.
They have really bad eyesight.
Yeah, they can't see.
My hand in front, so she thinks there's a wall there.
Yeah.
She doesn't go up help.
And you have no fear of insects?
Mm-mm. No. Not unless they're really, really venomous.
No.
Yeah, then I'm not going to touch them. Mess with them.
Have you always liked insects, even when you were little? Or have you grown to like them?
I've grown to like them.
Well, I've always liked
bugs.
Too, when if a spider's in the house, we take it outside. We don't want it. It's always been like that.
Yeah, that's true. Where are you going?
Yeah.
You have another one, too? Yeah, we have three spiders. And then what else do we have? Let's see. We have millipedes. Other things. But we'll show you the scorpion next. Yeah. Wish we had those. Wish we could bring those out.
What's that, the assassin?
Yeah.
She won't crawl out, though.
Oh, yeah, she will.
She will? Okay.
Yeah. She gets persistent. Yeah, Ryan's not the one with the fear. It's really me. I might not show it, but I'm keeping it in very well.
Of the scorpion?
Oh, of the Rosita.
Yeah,
yeah, she, Ryan can tell you. My hand shakes sometimes.
Yeah.
Get a little bit nervous.
I sweat.
You want to tell him about the scorpion?
Yeah, this is an emperor scorpion from, yeah. She's from West Africa.
This is the one I can't handle.
Well,
she's venomous. Be half a bee sting.
Let her settle down.
Mm. Yeah, there's no real toxins. Too bad, I know.
You are an amazing mother.
I've had to cover sometimes at the museum, and so I've learned.
Paratoxin.
Yeah. Now, he can be pretty quick, right?
Mm-hmm. You can have the walk on you.
Okay, yeah. I'm not afraid.
So is that tail how she's staying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Curl her back and
stay. Yeah.
So these are clothes, these are feet.
Yeah, they're pedipals. So they have, they have eight legs and two arms, I guess you would say.
Look at how many.
So there's ten.
Yeah, there's ten. Ten limbs.
Mothers carry the little babies on their back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
they open. Yeah, they open up and all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So I guess. So this one, yeah, we kind of have a.
She has a
movie. That's when somebody was asking us. You can tell if they're happy.
Right, Ryan?
That's happy. What?
If you press it from above, it's they'll pinch, right? With their
yeah, if you go from above, they're more lively. It's the crickets.
How old is this one?
I can't remember how old she is.
So
weird something.
Listen, in the desert, in the desert, in the sand.
Yeah. A little bit.
What's her name?
I wish I knew.
Yeah, the name Curry.
Yeah.
She fits in that little hole?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we'll mark the cage.
Could I use it? What's that in there?
It's coconut dust.
That's what she likes or eats? Or?
No, that's, it's clean.
Oh,
it's really clean. Mm-hmm. Sterile environment.
And she likes to be under the coconut?
Mm-hmm.
It has a little door.
Yep.
She gets through there.
She goes in one claw at a time.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is that water also?
Yeah, it's all water with marbles because sometimes they can drown in the water.
Mm-hmm. And we would pass this one around, but I think she's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to. Yeah.
Is that a male or a female?
It's a female.
It is a female, too.
How long would she live, do you, about?
I'd say 15
years.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe more.
Is she getting bigger, or this is...
No, she's pretty much full grown.
So it's not dangerous to have her running around like that?
No.
Wow.
Not too dangerous. It's a little dangerous.
You didn't tell me that.
Unless you explode. So they don't need air, you...
Just put them into the plastic.
Yeah, well, they made air, so we have some openings for it.
Oh, you have the opening?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have to change the water every day?
I don't know. Yeah, every day.
Oh, maybe? Different kind,
yeah,
I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the one they
use.
This is the one that they use in, like, movies and stuff.
Because they're easy to handle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stinger's still there?
It would pinch you before it's done. Yeah. It would...
I was sleeping in and I woke up in the middle of the night, I don't know why, and there was a baby coming right at me. Right next to my face.
Oh, wow.
When I tried to blow on it, like blow it away.
I don't know. I already guess I like instant
karma.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, you can put her back.
What's her name again?
I'm not putting her back very well.
I'm going to call her Empress right now.
Yeah, Empress. That's good.
Because she's an emperor, yeah.
Empress
Scorpion.
I thought she'd be showing us flies and things, you know, ants.
Yeah. This is a stick insect. You can touch it if you want to.
Australia.
Yeah. Well, New Guinea, but yeah.
New Guinea.
Close enough to Australia. No.
Yeah, will she climb out if
we
pass
her? Yeah, for the most part, no. It's not that warm in here. But, yeah, I mean, we can pass the tub around.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to see her?
Yeah.
I'm good.
I'm going to see. I bet there's some crowds that aren't as calm.
No.
No.
Especially
the kids.
Dealing with children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to keep my calm here because there weren't children. Because normally they're like, the first instinct is, oh!
Yeah, and then you're getting
bit. And then I'm getting bit because.
Oh, no.
So I get shaky and sweaty.
Right, I have to talk you down.
Yeah. He's like, he tells me, he's like, okay, you can put her back now. He's like, we can just fill the theater with stick bugs.
Yeah, I wish we brought those because people get really creeped out by the light.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're
horrible.
Now that I could probably touch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
millipedes are
cockroaches. I'll put her back.
You put her back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go back home.
Yeah, Ivy's still on your shirt last night.
Yeah. I'm not going to put that back.
A whole room at home full of bugs?
No. Well, we did today.
Yeah.
But
Ivy's looking pretty good.
Yeah. You show him the pictures.
Oh yeah, he wanted to see some pictures from the past.
There's some amphibians in there too. Yeah, poison dart frogs. The most poisonous land animals. Yeah, some of me. Not too many.
What's this one?
That's a orb weaver spider.
Mm-hmm. We have this one in our nursery.
Yeah.
It gets bigger every day,
I swear. I look like
what
it.
Is this
frog? Yep. At the museum.
Okay. Yeah,
no, not.
You need a special license.
Yeah.
And these?
The cockroaches.
Madagascar.
Those are, cave cockroaches. Yeah, they're from Peru, I believe.
Not Madagascar?
No, we have Madagascar. Mm-hmm. Some cockroaches.
Madagascar are kind of.
They just found a very large sticky insect on an island off the coast of New Zealand, which they thought had been extinct for 100 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
They found a whole colony of them living under one bush. And they were like a foot and a half long.
Jeez.
Yeah, she's
still there. Yeah. Just making sure. Sometimes I can't tell when she's there.
Yeah.
Or the tarantula.
Yeah.
Where'd she go?
Yeah, we only had one moment where I had somebody to help me. And I crawled down onto the side, and I was like, there's no way. I don't.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get interested in bugs?
I've kind of always been interested in animals of all kinds, but I guess kind of recently, working with all these guys. How you doing?
A bug wrangler.
I've owned snakes, too, so.
Oh, yeah.
At this time.
Glad there's no snakes there.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a yellow rat snake, and she vanished in the house.
We found her again. Later, behind books in a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a book out.
How big was she, do you think?
She was small.
3 feet, maybe? I think she was maybe 3 feet by that time.
She was still in good shape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can go for a long while without food, surprisingly.
And how do they get water then?
That's a good question.
Reserves.
Yeah. Probably.
Do snakes drink? I mean, or do they get it from their food?
Well, they can get it from their food, but yeah, they can drink. Just put their head in there and.
Tiny little holes.
Yeah. Blasted up like a cat.
These guys all drink, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they have water there.
Yeah. They get a lot of their moisture from their food.
Yeah, they do. Insects do that a lot.
This spider wants to get back
out. It sure does.
Ryan, do you like regular American cockroaches?
I don't like them, but I try not to, you know. Hurts.
Yeah.
I just like, ugh. I don't like this.
Yeah, I like these perfumes a lot better.
Yeah, cats will kill any bug they see.
Touch it, and if it moves,
you're
playing dead.
There you go.
Now she
would
not fall off the edge.
No, she won't.
Yeah, she would see. And normally Ryan has a glove. The animal
she,
gets pulled,
she attached to that glove. She likes it a lot.
Because when we first... Whole
yeah, she was trying
to... a colony of other stick insects.
Here, she
they were like this.
She, was, she might.
And then... So we put...
Oh, no, it was...
And that, this is the only one that we handled.
Not this glove.
Yeah.
Oh, which one?
It's a hand glove.
Oh, really? That's not first progress. Do you think they
sang
insects, or are they smart?
I think it's mostly instinct. But I think some of them probably mantises are very, that's probably the smartest of all the insects. But then you have, you know, bees, and the queen's pretty smart to control all those other bugs.
Making little noises.
Yeah.
Mantises will actually look at you, like, they'll turn their head if you talk.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
No. Locusts and crickets and sure a lot of other insects do, but she doesn't. Would you like to? Yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing all
the cool visitors. Thank you. cockroaches. The Madagascar, not the American or German. Let's see. There's some millipedes. That's good. Yeah. We have some. They're Malaysian, but. Yeah, they've got fishhook claws.
The rhinoceros beetle?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the rhinoceros beetle, it has a, what is it? The head.
It hinge.
It has a hinge on it.
And it'll pinch your finger.
Yeah, that's
really
the
bad.
Thing you can do. It's like it'll pinch your finger if it's underneath because it moves its head.
Yeah.
And it hurts a lot.
I don't have good karma with this. In the Silver Prayer Book on page 22, or if you have the booklet, it's page 7. We'll do the Lamso Kapa Guru Yoga. You who emanate from the heart of the Savior of the 100 Devas joyful realm, on the peak of a cloud, water holder resembling clumps of extremely fresh white curd, the King of Dharma, Omniscient Losandrapa, with your sons, I request you to come to this place. In the sky before me, on a lion throne, lotus and moon disc, the perfect pure Lama smiles with delight. Supreme field of the merit of mind's devotion, I beg you to abide for 100 eons to increase the teachings. Your holy mind understands the full extent of objects to be known. Your eloquent speech is the ear ornament of the fortunate ones. Your holy body is glowing and glorious with fame. To you who is meaningful to see, hear, and remember, I prostrate. Beautiful drinking water, various arranged flowers, fragrant incense, light, scented water, and so forth, actually performed a mentally transformed oceans of clouds of offerings, I offer to you the supreme field of merit. Whatever non-virtues of body, speech, and mind, and especially actions opposite to the three vows that I have created from beginningless time, from the bottom of my heart, I regret and fervently confess them all individually. In this time of the five degenerations, you strove for many listenings and realizations and made meaningful the perfect human rebirth. By renouncing the eight worldly concerns and the Savior's extensive deeds, I rejoice sincerely from the depths of my heart. Please, holy, perfect, pure gurus, from billow clouds of compassion and wisdom in the sky of Dharmakaya, make rainfalls of profound and extensive teachings of whatever is suitable for the ears of sentient beings who are the objects to be subdued. I dedicate whatever virtues I have ever collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losandrapa to shine forever. And then if you turn the page, we'll recite the five-line prayer 21 times, and we'll do the final one together. Turn to page 34. We'll do the second stanza of the dedication. It's page 21 in the booklet. In all my lives, through the victorious one, Lama Tsongkhapa, acting in person as Mahayana Guru, may I never turn aside for even an instant from the excellent path praised by the victorious ones. Sashi Puki Jushi Meto Tramri Ravishi Nide Gempati Sangye Jindu Dagi chun yengi pe sunam ki drola penchir sangge drupar shom. Chodan so ki chog nam la jang chu bardu dagni kyab su chi. Dagi chun yengi pe sunam ki drola penchir sangge drupar shom. Chodan so ki chog nam la jang chu bardu dagni kyab su chi. Dagi chun yengi pe sunam ki drola penchir sangge drupar shom.
So the Brian has an appointment with me, so he has some questions about Buddhism. So then we met here. So he's been coming to discovering Buddhism class long time. So he has some questions. So then we spend 1 hour together here at the center. I asked him some questions, you know, like, because he has these physical problems. So I was wondering, you know, how this, you know, studying Buddhism is helping his mind. And I asked him, does it help him? He said, yeah, it's helping me a lot. So then I said, that's good. So in order to me to answer his questions, I asked him questions. I didn't answer the question that he has. So anyway, I didn't see this, you know, that's very important to answer. So then I asked him, you know, what do you makes you happy? And he says, you know, when he talks about bugs, that makes him happy. So then I thought, you know, so then I request him to come here to give some talk about, you know, bugs, you know, so that also based on our experience, when you get sick, you know, like when you get very strong headaches, it's not that easy to develop compassion, or, you know, to, you know, to, it's hard to find something that makes you happy. So anyway, my whole point, so, is like, if he comes here, then I request him, so now I will make times, one with this nice class, so that he can come and give some talk, know how. Basically, he's saying that he wants people not to operate a box. So then he himself is not operating a box. And he how he connected to box. Box? Yeah, box. So that I found out they're quite, you know, kind of inspiring. You know, so somebody who's on the wheelchair, hardly any, you know, like limb can move beside head. So just by looking at him, telling me something like that, I got really inspired. So, you know, like, how you can, if you are in that position, can you find something that makes you happy? So it's not that easy, you know? So, so I hope that he inspires you. Huh? Yeah, and just he's coming here, you know, like, So just imagine, you know, being in that position, just imagine that. So now, you know, like, yeah, probably we all do, you know, I also do, you know, we complain about things, you know, so that if you're in that situation, there's there's reason why you are not happy, there's reason, you know, there's obvious reasons. So anyway, in a Buddhist, you know, as a Buddhist, you know, so what do you do when, you know, things go wrong in your physical body, in your mind? What do? You're trying to get some help, you know, through some practice, so that you learn, you know, then you think, and you think again, you know, just think one, you think again and again. So then, slowly, slowly, that piece of teachings teach you how to accept, you know, whether it's like mental difficulties or physical difficulties, you try to accept that based on some reason, you know, some reason. Of course, you know, dungal, that's not sufferings. Dungal is sufferings. Sanskrit word is called dukkha. It's like, you know, sufferings. So, dunga lamche means accepting sufferings. Yes, it is accepting, not just accepting, but then trying to utilize that, you know, to create some, like, something, or you can call it space, or something, that at least that you understand what's happening. So then it allows you to look at the situation from different angles, look at, not totally just as negative, then, you know, it creates some space where you can look at the same situation, look at that from positive, you know, state of mind. And some, you know, then also there's like what we call Tonglen practice, you know, giving out of loving kindness, taking out of compassion. So what we call Tonglen practice. So there's, you know, conjoined with the breathing meditations. When you breathe, when you exhale, then you're trying to, you know, give, you know, out of loving kindness. When you inhale, then you are, you know, visualizing or imagining, you know, taking voluntarily, not by force. You know, by force it's going to be difficult, but it's done totally voluntarily. So when you voluntarily accept, so then, you know, deep down in your mind there's joy. You know, deep down in your mind, joy. You know, there's always joy. No matter what kind of things that you take on, there's always that joy. So, you know, there's this kind of practice, accepting difficulty and utilizing, or maybe say, dunga lam ched, maybe using, accepting that difficulty and using that very difficulty as a path that will lead you somewhere rather than just being miserable. That will lead you somewhere rather than just being miserable. You know, so there's, you know, dunga lam ched, dunga suffering, lam is a path. So you're trying to take that difficulty and transform that into a path. That path will lead you somewhere, and you look at that situation a little bit differently to the positive mind. So so there's a good example, you know, Brian, I think. So he's... And I asked him, so like... He said he does some meditations. I'm not sure what kind of meditations. Sometimes it's kind of hard to understand because my English is not good. Talk about that, he has very soft voice, no idleness. So he did told me that he does some kind of meditations. So anyway, so this invitation that Brian is coming here, that, you know, is all about inspiring us, all of us, inspiring us, and also that you can't really, you know, like when you look at something like that, you can't really complain, you know, so you can still be happy, you know, you can still be happy, you can still find something that makes you happy. Look at Brian, so, you know, so that's good, there's, you know, mutual benefit, okay? From our side, then he's happy that, you know, he felt like, I asked him, like, the bottom line is like that, it's like from his side, it's like giving something. It's giving something. That's why it makes me happy, giving something. Can you imagine that, you know, so in that kind of situations. So anyway, so we used to, you know, chant these stanzas every Wednesday night class. So like accepting difficulty, transform the difficulty into path, then it will lead somewhere. You know, we used to chant that. So most of you probably know that, called Tonglen, okay, Tonglen, called Dungal Lamche, accepting difficulty. So yeah, so so now I will read something from here, okay? So we've been, if you are first time here, we've been studying this book called Lam Rim. This book is taught by one of the Tibetan masters. You see, here's a statue in the middle of the, in front of the Shakyamuni Buddha. So the middle one called Lama Tsongkhapa, who was born in eastern part of Tibet. Tsongkhapa, that's the region where they grow a lot of onions. Tsong means onions. So that his name after the, you know, Tsongkha, that's the name, the town name after onions. So he was born in that town. Then his name, you know, is Tsongkhapa, means somebody who born into the onion town. Tsongkhapa, okay. So this book is written now almost 650 years ago. Almost 650 years ago. This is called Lam Rim. So, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, also highly recommended all the centers in the West, you know, so that all the Geshe's or resident teachers should teach these books, because these books, you know, contain so much information that is, that will help how to improve our life and our understanding about our understanding of life, and also improve our basic human qualities. That's His Holiness' goal, improving, you know, like loving kindness, compassion, and like where to begin, working for one's own happiness, what it means from Buddhist Lam Rim point of view, how you do that, helping yourself, then helping others. So you can't help others if you don't know how to help yourself. So this Lam Rim is all about that, you know, divided into three sections called small scope, middle scope, then Mayana, the great path. So far, we, out of like 800 pages, we finished 88 pages, long way to go. So now, as I mentioned, you know, like each one of us in this room has responsibilities. You know, how to, me as a Tibetan monk, so you know, my teaching style is like very much, probably used to be very much traditions, you know, Tibetan tradition, that's how they've been, all the books, class have been taught in the monastery. So here, that's not the point. The point is not, you know, we don't have to be traditions, but the point is the message. So the so far the message we will cover in this book is, you know, is so many people, unfortunately, in developing countries like Europe, America, being here last 15 years, not just also being in a different part of Europe. So the big problem is, you know, like looking down on oneself, you know, so like wearing all the different, many different layers of, you know, self. And this book also teach us how to recognize self. The self that we understand is not the self. It's been exaggerated. The self we don't understand, that's not been exaggerated. So, you know, that's what is called emptiness. That's also in these books. So, an important message that 650 years ago, Lama Tsongkhapa wrote these books. Before that, Lama Atisha, the Indian master who came to Tibet, reestablished Buddhism's Indian master who came to Tibet way before Lama Tsongkhapa, who reestablished Buddhism in Tibet, because, you know, there's all kind of, it's kind of mixed with the shaman, all kind of things, you know, so people, all, everybody kind of confused. So then he reestablished, he is well-known scholar back in India. So he came, and he's the one who founded, founded the word Lam Rim. Lam, path, rim, stages of the path. from the very beginning of this book, what they are saying is saying that life is precious. So I said this mental problem now. Some of your ears already may be burned. So that's very important. Lama Tsongkhapa is saying the life is precious. That's why it's called precious human life. As a Buddhist, that's where you're supposed to think. The minute you wake up early in the morning, or you think of a precious human life. You know, people time and time again, when you see people, when you meet people, you know, not every day, but you know, like again and again, people say, oh, Gisela, my life has no meaning. Simply not true. According to Lama Tsongkhapa, according to Lama Atisha, simply that's not true. No, tangible, precious human life, trenching, meaningful, nyeka, so difficult to find. So this is something that we, as Lamrim, how you say, person who is studying, student of Lamrim, or maybe say Lamrim, how you say, studying, so someone who studied Lamrim, what do you call? In that regard, everybody's student, so we are all learning Lamrim. So anyway, so there's something that each one of us in this room has responsible how to get this message across. So let people know that life is precious, meaningful, difficult to find. So if you wonder, how is that? So then you read Lamrim, the beginning of Lamrim, and then, you know, it explains you, you know. Then, you know, if you think, okay, this is everything is just random, this just happened, it just happened out of nothing, it's just accident. So then, you know, there's not much different than the glass and, you know, life, because life, when life dies, then it's kind of, you know, finished. So there's, you know, as a Buddhist, when you wake up, that's what you're supposed to think. You know, find something that you can be grateful. As a Buddhist, what you do, you focus on the precious human life. So meaningful. Because, you know, every moment, as I mentioned it last time, so there's something that gives me so much, like I said, hope, and also, you know, everybody, you know, there's nobody's perfect. Because this very existence called imperfect existence, what we call from Buddhist point of view, samsara, means imperfect existence. You can expect perfections in samsara, you know, whether it's for you or other, you know. So that, just knowing about the samsara, what is samsara, just knowing that it will help you to overcome from fear of being perfect. You know, so that's, so, you know, because of that, we make mistakes, you know. So when you think about the mistakes, it's kind of like discouraging. You know, so maybe there's no hope at all. Maybe, you know, when I'm going to enlighten, so there's no hope. But the mistake, you know, in the Buddhism, what you do, so when you remember mistakes, so not something they remember every single day. As a Buddhist, you know, in Buddhism, what you do, when you're about to do purification practice, then you remember them deliberately. You're trying to bring them up. So then you do something, you know. Then after that, instead of feeling bad, you feel good. Does it make sense? So do you have something like that? Do you have something like that? Yeah, so you bring them up. So rather than feeling guilty or feeling, you know, like that, you bring them, in Buddhism, you deliberately bring them up. No fear, you just deliberately bring them up. Then you do something, you know. As I mentioned, you know, you just go around, one round, stupa. You just think about that, just go one round. We have no idea how much that purifies. It purifies. So it's like, you know, like dirty dishes in the sink. You buy soap, you buy best sponge to clean, more powerful soap to clean. But if just putting there, you know, then it's not going to clean. You have to move. Similar like that, you know. If you just put it all there, just meditate or pray, or it will be clean. It's not going to be clean, right? So similar here. So that's what we do. So what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to, you know, everybody is not perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. When you remember mistake, what do you do? That's in Buddhism, that's what we do. What you do in American society, what do you do? So then if you start to tell yourself, oh, you are bad, you are not good, so this is all wrong. This is not simply not true. When we purify, I'm saying, oh, I'm going to purify my action such and such. I'm not never say I'm going to purify myself. You can purify. You know, action and actor has to be separate. You know, the actor has, you know, ability every moment. Every moment you are fully capable to improve yourself. Because the mistake that we make, that doesn't make us incapable to improve ourselves. That's not true. Every moment, you know, every moment that you are fully capable, so that gives me so much strength. You know, the past, you purify them much as you can. The present, you improve. You know, you improve certain things that you used to do again and again, that you make some kind of, you know, with some disciplines, you make some kind of commitments. From now on, you know, next day, I'll know you do make progress. That's how, you know, the improvement made within the mind. So my point, whole point is, you know, all my friends, my whole point is, I'm trying to hear as a, whenever you remember something, you know, something that you know we did. So in America, generally speaking, American society, what do? You blame yourself. If I'm right, bad person, something like that. What good comes out of that? And first of all, I'm not just saying, trying to make you happy. You know, I never trying to lie. But here, I try all my best. So as I sometimes, you know, as I explain exactly the way it's been written in Lamrim books. So as a Buddhist, that's what we do. So that's all I can say. As a Buddhist, what we do, when you remember certain things, there's certain things that have not been done correctly. So when you remember, then immediately, as a Buddhist, you know, we say some prayer, something to purify, some kind of purification practice that related to the purifications, whether it's reciting mantra or maybe doing prostration, we do that immediately. After that, you don't feel bad. That's what I can prove. You don't feel bad, even though act is not something to rejoice, no, something is not itself is not positive. Not because act is negative, it's all purification practice doesn't make the action is positive. It simply purifies. So then you move on. Then you improve. So that's why this life is so precious. Because every moment is you are fully capable to improve yourself. You know? So then as a Buddhist, what you do? You regret. Okay? Regretting towards something negative that's positive. Regretting towards something negative, positive is negative. Regret can be both positive and negative. So we never ever use word guilt. So this sounds like kind of like disease. You know, so there's something you need to think about. You know, we are same human beings. You know, only difference is I'm Tibetan, you're American, but only difference, you know, we speak different language. But bottom line, it's same human. I have feeling, you have feeling, you know, you are physical, you know, if somebody punch you, get hurt. If somebody punch me, I get hurt. Physically, mentally, same, only minor difference. So, I just want to, share that with you. So, how to get this message out to our friends who's feeling bad about themselves, who's telling themselves, oh, you are not good, you are bad, So then, what is about Buddha nature? Buddhism talks about Buddha nature. What is about Buddha nature? You can't be bad. Or somebody may think, oh, you are a good person. Some people think you are a bad person. You can't be both. So then that's what emptiness, teaching emptiness, you know, is like levels. It doesn't nothing that exists concretely. Concretely, nothing that exists. Everything is imputed by, you know, mind. So that mind, some of them positive, some of them are negative. So, you know, it's all project. It's kind of like projected by projection. In this case, projection is the mind. So then that projection in the mind, some mind can be positive, some mind can be negative. So there's not inherent bad or inherent good. It's all, you know, somebody's concept. So what you can do, what I can do, even though somebody says, oh, you are not good, you know, from my side, you know, changing other people, that's not easy. You can, it's changing one's own concept is challenging. So the changing other people's mind, that's more difficult. So what I can do, I can just think, you know, precious human life, so meaningful, so difficult to find. Then that's, when you think about that throughout the day, then that is meditating on Lam Rim. Okay, just want to repeat that. Then if we are comparing ourselves with Milarepa, you know, it's like great hermit, you know, hermit. So there's movies only made out about Milarepa. So he killed many people. He killed many people because he learned black magic, because his aunt and uncle are not treating them very well. So because of that, his mother sent him to learn black magic, so make sure that before they die, they see some results. So everybody in the town knows that's caused by my son. So that kind of intention, you know, so then, you know, that's black magic. So Milarepa killed many people. But in the end, you know, so he became one of the great meditators in Tibetan history, great meditators. So this is all, you know, like, I never killed humans, you know. And if somebody who killed not just one human, many of them, 10 or 15 of them, had a chance to liberate themselves. So, you know, and so that's what Buddha nature is about. You separate your action and yourself. You separate. So I'm saying that begging. As a support. Backed up by Buddha's word. Tuve nimo passages. Buddha sees deluded mind as a problem. Buddha says, Tuva is Buddha. Nimo is like afflicted mind. Buddha sees that afflicted mind is a problem, not a person. Tuve nimo passages. Nimo tante kansame. That's my, this conversation is no action and actor, why it needs to be separate. That talk is based on that quote directly taught by Shakyamuni Buddha. If you wonder, you'll find it somewhere in this book. So that's the, I said, backed by this Buddha's quote. Tuve nimo tasiji, nimo tante kansa means. Nimo tante kansa, not a person with that rooted mind is a problem. That the rooted mind, afflicted mind, there's a problem. Whether it's anger, jealousy, ill feel, there's no good. That's the last thing that we need. We don't need any negative minds, whether it's come from yourself, whether it's come from other people, other religion, other tradition, other culture, you know, other interests. That's the last thing we need. What we need last is negative minds. Why? Because that is mental sufferings. Regardless, if you're Buddhist, if you have negative mind, this is still mental sufferings. If you're a non-believer, if you have negative mind, that's also mental sufferings. So that's why we don't need. What we need more positive minds. When it's come down to yourself, you need more positive minds. That's why you need to think, this is precious, this is meaningful, this is difficult to find. When you see that, and you think about that, not just once a while, you think again and again and again and again, and eventually, when you think about this precious human life, then you have this experiential understanding of precious human life, then rather than just mere knowledge. So then, you know, you see every life, you know, as a precious. So then, so many, you know, like, So this is very good. Okay, this I think this will help. This topic will definitely help to overcome, lift up your spirit if you are feeling down. Lama Tsongkhapa said nobody should feel down or low streams. Everybody should lift up their spirit. Just focus on precious human life every morning. That's what we all should think. Minute we wake up, we should think about precious human life. Luckily, I'm alive. I can see, I can hear, I can talk, I can read. So then based on that, we make choice. Every day, we make choice. You can make choice to not improve. You can make choice to go back to the same thing that you don't feel good about every day. When you remember them, you can go back there, or you can just move on and improve yourself, because every moment you are fully capable to do something good, okay? Is it? So now where we stop? Seven limb prayer, we already go there? So that one, so now I will repeat this again. I already said many years ago. Seven limb here, first let me introduce seven limb briefly, okay? First one is called prostrations. This is, like the direct antidote for pride or arrogant when you do prostrations. So there are like full-length prostrations, and there's short one. There's two ways to do prostrations. It's quite amazing, when you think about the benefit, it says, I'm not sure how many of you kind of want this human life again or not. So as a Buddhist, we never pray. We usually wish that I will get this opportunity again, this human life. Because here, everything is up and down. There's many different realms. Some other realms, there are no sufferings. They live long time, there's no sufferings. Everything's fine. Everybody, if you want something, you just create. You just imagine, it just happens, Chang Damini is like, there's some realms, So we are not interested to be born in that kind of realms. Because there's no, you can't make improve. Because you are not enlightened. If you are enlightened, of course, so then you wish to be born there. But there you are not enlightened. You are still part of samsara. Sooner or later, there will be difficulties. So that realms, everything kind of like steady. It's kind of like boring, actually, kind of boring, yeah. So here, samsara is kind of like, it's like big adventure. Don't you think? Everything is up, down, it's not like equalness. It always, someday it's good, someday it's bad. It goes like, it's like wave, So that's why you make improve. That's why you develop wisdom. That's where you develop compassion. If nobody's suffering, you can't develop compassion. How you can develop compassion? If nobody's, need help, you can't develop loving kindness. Loving kindness means you are contributing to your loved one, close one, or somebody who's struggling to achieve something in the sake of happiness. They're not achieving that, then you help. That's love. Then you help them to reach. That's love. Compassion is somebody's suffering. So then you liberate from them. That's compassion. So this is samsara is actually, I think, big was adventures. Yeah? It's like, Chukpo means, there's so many things happening. There's music playing, people are drinking beer, playing games, and all kind of, what you call this kind of environment. It's not like everybody's very quiet, It's kind of like, Yeah, it is chaotic, yeah. So anyway, so as a Buddhist, deep down, you wish that you'll get this human life again. Then you can carry on whatever the work they've been doing here. You can carry on. So that's something that we wish. But we don't wish to be born. There come realms, you know, where there's nothing to really to do, just spacing out. So then, you know, the prostration, the reason I'm saying this, the prostration is here. It's amazing, you know, like, when you do one prostration, the every atom has been set. I'm just repeating here, it's been set. So every atom that you cover by your body, it becomes the cause for perfect human life. So can you imagine that, doing prostrations? So anyway, we are here, seven limb.
Well, yeah, we just mentioned that as part of...
Anyways, I just want you to know the prostration is the direct antidote for arrogant, okay? When you prostrate, bowing down, showing respect, that's antidote for arrogant. So if you find some other antidote to help your arrogance, you can use that. There's no problem. Prostration, chapa or chapa. So then second one is offerings. Offering doesn't have to be on the altars, you know. That's what we do as Buddhists. We make offerings on the altars. Offering can be, you can just give food to the beggars. You can, you know, like voluntaries, you know, I did a couple of times, voluntaries like meals on wheel. Meals on wheel, you can do that, you know, there's also offerings. So offering your time, energy, your mental energy, physical energy, verbal energies, you know, you can do, and you can, you know, downtown rally, something you can do. You see this, you know, homeless people, you just give them, you know, something, you know, so they smile, like that. So that's like the direct antidote for stinginess, okay? So in order to do seven limb practice, or if you say the seven limb prayer, or when you do seven limb practice, I think it's important to understand prostrations is direct antidote for arrogant offering, stinginess, if you have any different method to help you to not to become too tight with what you have, so then you can also use that, no, still chazavana, sherpa. So then, confession, purification practice. That's why it's kind of, you don't hear, you know, you don't hear word guilty, feel guilty, you don't hear that in Tibet. Doesn't mean people are perfect. They make mistakes. They fight. They get jealous. They get angry. They get, you know, same human. It's like they also, you know, their life is not perfect. So why you don't hear that? Why you don't hear that? Because of this compassion practice. It's not like, you know, you have to go somewhere else or go come to Kadamba Center. You can, you know, do by yourself. That's why, you know, it's a direct antidote for something that you did wrong. You know, this antidote. How I can overcome besides saying myself I'm a bad person. That's not antidote. If that helps, of course, you know, then you can say I'm a bad person. If that helps to you to overcome, if that helps next time, if that helps when you remember that, if that helps, okay, I don't feel bad because I already told myself I'm a bad person. So when I remember that it doesn't hurt, that's good news that you can do that. No? So that's not what we do. As a Buddhist, what we do, we purify them. Purify. Oh? So that's confession is the direct antidote for something that we did wrong. No, any wrongdoing, no, any wrongdoing, any mistake. You simply, you know, say that's what you call, sing the song, that you know, that somebody's song, singing a song with towards death. Death? Do you remember that? You long time you played that to me. I kind of found very interesting. Give me more chance. Give me one more chance. Yeah. That's exactly, you know, you give yourself chance. And simply it's not true, because you are saying that you are bad, it's not true. It's not true. I'm not saying this because to make you happy. This is what's been said. So that's what I've been listening. That's what I've been thinking, you know, so that each time when you're about to say to yourself that you are a bad person, it is not true. It is not true. Maybe you are doing that maybe out of laziness. Maybe you don't want to do purification practice. Or maybe, as I said, you know, Oh, purification, that's kind of complicated. 100 syllable mantra, that's long mantra to, I'd say, memorize. 35 Buddha posture, that's kind of, you know, a lot of work to put. So we are looking for something instant. So only there's one instant that you can look for, you just go one round. Stupa. That's easy. You can just go one round. I have not 100% clear idea how much that purifies. You feel good. In Nepal, that's like, last time when I was in Nepal, there's many, many young American students that in Nepal studying Tibetans from all kind of different parts of the states. You know, when you go to the stupas, every day there's thousands and thousands of people that goes round and round and round, all kind of age group, not just Asian, there's Chinese, there's American, Europeans, people from Spain, Switzerland, Germany, all kind of, you know, these countries consider as educated world, you know. So they are doing, so then once a while you hear, you know, not from those American students, but, you know, in the Tibetan family, especially elder one, okay, today I'm very, very happy. So then you see maybe something happened, maybe he met somebody that he never met, didn't meet a long time ago. When he read, he says, okay, today I'm able to go 20 rounds about the stupa. That's why he's happy. It's not something that he eats. So that is, I think, mental happiness. So that's what we do, okay? So as a Buddhist, so confessions, the third limb, fasting, prostrations, offerings, confessions. So therefore, because of the confessions, you don't hear people are blaming themselves. You don't hear that. Why? They don't blame, because blaming themselves is not the answer. So what they do, they put more energy onto purification practice, how to purify them. So make sure next time when they remember, so make sure they remember not just that, they remember that with something else. Means purification practice. You know, they remember that, but on top of that, they remember, okay, I did such and such purification practice. Eventually, when you remember, it doesn't hurt, because that's a sign it purifies. So then in the dream, and also in Lamrim book, it says, you know, when you are wearing brand new clothes, seeing sunshine, and taking shower, or maybe vomiting, or maybe climbing on the mountains, if you are having this kind of frequent dreams, that indicates that you purify. Okay, something that in the dream, when you wake up, there's something to feel good about. Based on something that you did wrong. That's kind of interesting, don't you think? Because when you are remembering something that you did wrong, but instead of feeling bad, telling yourself you're a bad person, you feel pretty good. With the dream, you say, okay, I think I'm purified. Because last couple of days, I'm having this dream, taking showers. So I think my purification practice is working. You know? So that's how. Otherwise, what do you do? Everybody mistake. What do you do? Then everybody should be miserable. Tell themselves I'm a bad person. So that's the confession, okay? On that third limb, that's what you do. Confession. So, just, you know. So now third limb, the fourth limb is called rejoice. Rejoice is important. You know, rejoice. You don't get jealous. You just rejoice. You know, somebody's being successful or getting nice hair done, nice clothes, nice car, nice house. You just rejoice. So, you know, then time to time, I say, your happiness, my happiness is very much related. So we need to find how to expand that, you know. For example, say, you know, I have roommate, Gishisampo, is my roommate, you know. So then think, you know, like, how I can think that Gishisampo, if he gets happy, you know, so then, is there any way that I can be also happy? How that makes, you know, I have a problem, I'm not saying probably the best way, but your happiness, if you are happy, that makes me happy. Something like that. if you are unhappy, obviously it's hard to be happy, right? If Gijisang was unhappy, it's hard to be happy. Don't you think? Because you live in the same room, same house. If somebody's not happy, first of all, it makes it difficult to talk. Other person not willing to talk, you know, having a bad day. If other person's happiness, if you think, you know, if like, somehow, like, how you say, like, if Gijisang would go out, you know, many long hours, you know, go out, you know, to hang out with the friends and the Duke, you know, their Duke, there's some Tibetan student there. Time to time, they call him because they don't drive. So then he goes with them, long hour, he said, no. So then you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting. The first, you know, you kind of, okay, then, you know, say, then you watch the, oh, it's been now, he says he'll be back 1 hour. Now it's been 2 hours. It's been now 3 hours, or 4 hours. So the 5 hours, then you get, you know, then when he walks in, you're all pumped up. And they say, change, you know, see, change. The beginning is okay, you know, you say, okay, go, you know, help them. It's good to help them, you know, because they don't drive all this nice word. So you say, okay, it won't take long, I'll be back after 2 hours. Then, you know, meanwhile, then you yourself, not Gijisang, but just pump up, pump, pump, like the tire, about to blow, you know. So then when Gijisang walk in, he has no idea what happened. You know, he's not going to say sorry, because he has no idea what happened, you know. So then it's getting complicated. So, so what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, how to see that, how to see it. Saying I love somebody means you are saying, what you are saying, from Buddhist point of view, what you are saying that I will help that person if that person is struggling to achieve something for sake of happiness. I am there to contribute, not there to be destroyed. No? So there's, if you understand true definition of love, that's what you're saying. No? When you say I have compassion, that means if somebody's going through suffering, then you are there just to liberate them from the suffering. That's what you're saying. I have compassion, I love. So anyway, so rejoice. This is very important practice, to rejoice, you know. So that's like the direct antidote for jealousy. See? Prostration, arrogant. Antidote for arrogant. Offering, as I said, here, people, even just offering nice words, just, you know. So one time I was going around the Shili Lake doing my exercise. One young gentleman with a beard is holding one piece of paper, sign. It says, "You are perfect." Such a wonderful word. And I went there thinking, you know, I think he's just holding there. He just wants everybody who's going on the lake, he wants them to think they are perfect. And I'm thinking, I translate that, you know, everybody around walking on the lake, whether they're feeling good of themselves or not, every life walking on the lake is precious. According to Buddhism, it's precious, meaningful, difficult to find. So he's saying nothing, he's just sitting on the bench, he's just holding there. I thought that's a wonderful gift, you know, so, and I thank him. So like that, rejoice, you know, rejoice, rather than thinking, oh, maybe there's something wrong in his mind. Seeing something, you know, this is a wonderful thing that he's doing, he's sitting there, you know, so rejoice. So, that's the direct antidote, you know. If you get jealous, that's what you should, according to Lamyum book, according to Buddhism, that's what you should do. Only way you can overcome from jealousy is to rejoice, to participate in that, rather than thinking, oh, why you are so high today? Why you are so happy? Are you on some drugs? Instead of saying something or negative, something, you just participate. Way to participate is to rejoice. That's the direct antidote. That's the fourth limb, okay? Chazawada, Chuji, Shabada, Jezuela, Kulwa. So, so now this also leads to if somebody whom him or her you consider that person as a, how you say, so now say, you know, like, praying for Mandala, Nelson Mandela, who is the great inspiration for the world, you know, who's been in prison, tortured, you know, so still doesn't hold ill feel towards those gods. That's quite amazing, you know. So now everybody is sending prayers. So these people should live long, why? Because they inspire. Similarly here, persons, you know, like in him or her, that accept you as your teachers, give you a lot of teachings, is helping transform your mind, your attitude towards life, your understanding of life is now changed. So now your understanding of suffering changed, and you know, a whole lot of perceptions about yourself, other people, other belief, other religion, other tradition, it kind of changed. So now you are more about, you know, like wishing them well, regardless, Christian, Buddhist, Islam, you know, Tibetan, American, you are now becoming to say, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness. So that, you know, so because of this lot of help that you receive from him or her, then you are wishing that person to be live long. That's the fifth. And not just live there to hang out, you know, to live long, to teach, continue to teach. Yeah? So then last one is to remain as a live long life. So then after that, you dedicate, that's the last dedication. So that like say, this is probably not much you need to worry about, you know, so like if there any negative karma that you've been created associated with that person, him or her, you accepted that person as your teacher, any negative karma that you created associated with that person, just doing this, how is the fifth limb kind of purifies that. Okay, that's the antidote to purify that. The number fifth, any karma that associated with not showing respect to Dharma books, you know, using that book, you know, this is considered as a holy book. If you all of a sudden, if you just put it there, sit on that, it's used as a cushion. So that's, you know, disrespectful for the Dharma materials. So that's why Lama Sabha Rinpoche has many, many FMT prayer books. In the end of the prayer books, they have prayer paragraphs, how to show respect, Dharma books. So any negative karma that's associated with those things that purify, just requesting that person to teach, continue to teach Dharma, that purifies. You understand? Prostrations, direct antidote for pride, arrogance, offering stinginess, confessions, direct antidote for something that we did wrong, confessional, rejoicing, jealousy, okay? So then the requesting the person, him or her, you accept as a teacher to teach Dharma, that purifies all the negative karma that is associated with Dharma materials, okay? So then the number six, requesting that person to live long, so that any negative karma associated with that person, you know, or maybe you're judging that person, or maybe that person shouldn't do this, that, because that person teaches, then you're judging them, the way they teach, where they present the Dharma, and maybe thinking, oh, I know more than that person do, why he's called teacher. So that's why, in the very beginning of this book, what we learn how somebody can qualify to teach Dharma. There's qualifications. We learn that. After that, it takes 12 years to find somebody before you accept him or her as your teacher. It is okay if that takes 12 years. So make sure that person possesses those qualifications. So then after that, you accept that person, him or her, as your teacher. You did that deliberately, voluntarily. Then after that, you can be judgmental. Then if you're judging them, criticizing them, so then it's negative karma. So then negative karma will purify six limbs. So that's good for sake of knowledge, it's good to know. Next time, if somebody comes to you, oh, seven limb practice, I'm interested in I have some interest in civilian practice. Do you know what each limbs represent? Then you can at least benefit them. No, I say intellectually, you can explain to them. explain to them so that person's so getting the right message. Okay. So then the last one called dedication. 7-1 called dedication. This is like the direct entry for wrong view. Say, oh, do whatever you want to. There's no karma. The action doesn't have consequences. Yeah, you kill, doesn't matter. You save, doesn't matter. Same. You lie, or long as nobody knows, doesn't matter. Or you tell truth, same, doesn't matter. So that's called lokpa. Lokpa means a wrong view, Oh, you can steal, as long as the quickest way to become rich. Steal, as long as nobody knows. There's not this wrong view. And not just that wrong view, also thinking I'm a bad person, that's also not like full wrong view, but that's partially wrong view. But you are not saying there's no karma. So here, the wrong view, actually saying there is no action doesn't have consequences. If you do good things, doesn't matter. If you do bad things, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, When you die, it's not going to be like basically saying you're like glass. It's now while it's not breaking, you can use to drink water like this. So when it breaks, it breaks. It's not like that, something will go on. Something will go on. So there's wrong view. Technically, it's like saying action does not have consequences, whether it's positive or negative. So that's a direct antidote. That's why you dedicate. So I was, time and time again, I was wondering, I do go to flea market, some once a while. You see the person with the, how do you call this? Where you put children's strollers. Yeah, the first time when I saw that in the store, somebody's coming to the store, I look at there, doesn't look like human, it looks like it's a dog. So now, that's no joke, this is true. I was wondering, I did study, all the way. So now, how come not every dog in the stroller, people don't put them, So some people, they do, they treat them like human. So I was wondering, the same question goes to you, I was wondering how that being an animal, being treated by like human, I think what went wrong? Something went wrong, I think, in my point of view. But to create the karma to be like a human, but not exactly like human. So now there are certain things, and then they're not just that, then they put like, somebody they put a nice ribbon there, then all kinds of like, all kinds of decoration, the cloth, everything. So I have no idea. So only thing I can think of is like, the dedication went wrong. Dedication, something wrong there. That's only thing I can think of, really. That's true. That's true. There's something, dedication part went wrong. So, No, it's not dog. No, this life is big dog, but you can't say it's been dog life before that. Yeah, something maybe went wrong from the previous life. Or maybe there's have to have some explanation. I'm not sure. Maybe Dr. Brown has explanation. As a medical doctor, maybe has some. So that's kind of, you never see that in India, never, ever you see that. So the things that you see here, you don't see them there. Not just my lifetime, probably many more lifetimes, they will not see that. It's so kind of, wow, not what to say, not what to have, no, don't know what to say. So there's no karma that throws, the karma that completes. There's two different types of karma. Karma that throws you into, you know, as a human or as an animal. But the karma that also, another part of karma that kind of has a shape. You know, anyway, so they're not important. So I just wondering. So maybe what do you think? I'm just wondering about that. You know? So there's no, so I mean, I think like, I think the dog and cat, you know, there's some certain animals, like, you know, there's no bad idea to pray to be born in America, you know, so they've been treated pretty well. They've been treated pretty well, you know, so like, if they're born in like Nepal, India, like, life is going to be quite miserable, you know, so. And last time, so that one of our center members, now he's moved to Boston. So he lives in Durham. So he do some voluntary works at the animal shelter. One time he called me, Gishila, so I've something very important to tell you. So I said, he said, please tell me what is it. He said, I have like 45 rabbit, white. No, small, it's big, chubby, you know, it's like that. And he said, they are about to kill them. So I think there's somebody raised those rabbits, then probably brought to the homeless shelter, so they don't want them. So now there's no choice, they're probably going to put into what you call sleep or something like that. So then he still is here. So then I say, okay, I call Nolan, who has 65 acres of farmland. I call, that's only resource. I just called him, so, and I told him, no, I have one request. So you cannot say no. I had to, I just kind of quiet. He said, okay, so I really want you to you'd help me. You know, so this is very important. He said, please tell me what he said. I said, first I want you to say yes. Then I will tell. Then he said, yes. Then I said, there will be 45 rabbits. So he has to take out his horse, you know, his horse house. He has horse stall. So then we put it there, 45, and that's complicated. Then, you know, there's 4 million of them. So we end up calling the vet to get there to some injections, not to create baby. Yeah, so they are really strong, big, you know, so they just really, I have no idea. I never touched rabbit. So they just jump, huh? Yeah, their leg, you know, very strong, so that's how they attack. So that part, that part is nightmare, you know, like separating them. So then I think after that, Steve found somebody, there's one woman near Greensboro, so she has, huh? Yeah. So the Nolan cannot keep them very long there, you know, he's like, he has the horse to live there, the horse house. So then we found, Steve found that, you know, through the internet. So we all went there. They brought a lot of food. We all brought our rabbit. She already had a number of rabbits, all kinds of animals there. So then asked me some questions. I think that they are going to put the article into Mandala magazine. So they're asking me something, you know. I said to them, you know, so as a rabbit, that's as good as it can get. You know, it's like enlightenment, you know, like that, right there, you know, so a lot of holes to go in, place to sleep, you know, so that's good as you can get. So, so that I'm saying dog and cat and certain, yeah, it's kind of amazing. When you go to the pet store, things that you see there, the people would keep all kinds of animals, you know, all kinds of animals. So it is like... One time, my father, he visited here. I took him there. Then he saw this, in the glass door, there's many, many dogs. And he said, what is this door? What are those dogs? I said, they're school. Yeah, they are actually in school, you know? School. So that's why they're in the school. My father, he really thought we're really crazy. Anyway, so So yeah, dedication. That from the story, all this comes from dedication. So I was wondering, you know, like, so this only I can think is like something went wrong with that dedication. Dedicate means you, any positive energy that you created by doing something good, that you invest mentally, you say, oh, this is for, you know, say for my enlightenment, for something good, you know. So then that marriage has been protected. If you don't dedicate, you know, so then, you know, here sometimes very, very wealthy people, so much money, miserable life, living life miserably, and there's so much wealth, you know, so then there's something, probably, you know, dedication is important. So in Buddhism, intentions, actual practice, then dedication, these three things, very, very important. Therefore, we say this, you know, rapid Buddhist, the prayer, in the beginning, we're trying to think about welfare of all living beings. That kind of intention, when you meditate, you should have this kind of intention. When you practice, this kind of intention that we're supposed to have or to develop, you know, think, not just oneself, think about, you know, welfare of all living beings. So that's how, that's the kind of intention that you meditate, that you have to practice. Okay, so dedication. So that finished the seven limbs. I hope you remember first one, second one, what first one is antidote for. So then at least you can benefit from this class, Monday night class, Buddhism 101 class. You know, the many, many people from this class will teach those classes. If somebody asks you questions, you can at least benefit them intellectually what it is. So whether in a practical level, that's up to them. If they practice, they will get benefit. If they don't practice, then you can't practice for them. You know? So then that's up to them. So at least, you know, second knowledge, okay? Second knowledge, oh yeah. So then with that, probably stop. So didn't read the page, but, you know, probably a couple of pages already went, already covered, okay? Number of pages already covers if they're talking about the 17 practice, so. Thank you. Good night. Yeah. Okay. Right now? There's no, like, discussion group?
It's too late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let me see.
Okay, so if you turn in the prayer book to the back of the first bay sheet, we'll do these four dedication prayers. Gewa din yur du da lama sangge drug your name draw a chinkya malupa dehi sala gupa chu san cho rinpoche, ma ke pa nang ke gyur chi, ke pa nyam pa me pa ya, gone gondu pel war shu, jam pe pa wo ji tar kem pa dang, kun tu zan po de yan de jin te, de da kun gi je su da lo shir, ge wa di da tam che ra tu ngo, du sun shek pe gya wa tam che ki, ngo wa ga na cho tu nga pa de, da gi ge we ca wa di kun kyang, zan po cho chi ra tu ngo war gi. Gari rawe korwe jin kam dir, pendan de wa malu juwene, chen rezi wan tenzin gyatsohi, jape si te bardu tengyurchi, toni nin jesun du ju pelam, che che tsel ze gen chen tendrugun, cha na pe mo tenzin gyatsola, Solwa deb so je dun tu drushom. Jonu yi en an la wan jur tu. Awa tare tsemba ratso pa. Lutsang gel we de tole pelshom. Jazir gengir lama solwa deb. Tu tu jan jin gangun gel we. Tenzin. Kyom pel we kun zu do por te cho tsung kur we le mun tu dru pa ha da tso du je gun du jab ten sho meg me tse we te Tare to re so ha.